Please do turn back to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 and that parable that we read together. We live in an age of instant news, don't we, when news or fake news can seemingly go viral and spread across countries and continents with the touch of a button. Bad news seems to spread very quickly, but others say, as I think it was William Shakespeare who said it first, that truth will out. And in the midst of lies and different messages that we may receive, sometimes, eventually, the truth comes out. Good news, it seems, is sometimes lost in the confusion and the noise around us. But as Christians, we come to hear good news. We come because we have good news. We sing and praise God together because there is good news. And here's a verse that we normally say for Christmas. We have the angel saying in Luke 2, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Today we have come to talk about good news. That God has got a kingdom. That it's growing by his word, which is spread through his people. God's kingdom is growing. It grows by his word, which is spread through his people. That's all I want us to consider this morning. But I hope as we look at it together that we will be excited, that our hearts will be thrilled, that we will rejoice to see at what God has said he will do, at what God is doing, and what God will continue to do in his word, through his word, as he grows his kingdom, as it is spread by his people. We had this quote mentioned to us a couple of times yesterday from Jonathan Lehman in his book, The Word-Centered Church. God's word, working through God's spirit, is God's primary instrument for growing God's church. And I've been asked to focus on these last verses of the parable here in Mark 4, where we read about the good soil. Verse 8, "Other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. If we're not sure what it means, it's all explained for us. Verse 20, "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now tonight, I believe Dave Strivens will be looking at how our lives in and of themselves are fruitful, how we are sanctified, how we are made more Christ-like. But this morning, I want us to consider that the challenge of mission and the fact that we're clearly told here that God's kingdom is increasing, that it's getting bigger. We have it here in this parable, but in fact, the whole of this chapter here in Mark 4 is talking about God's kingdom growing and getting bigger. If you've got your Bibles there, just look down. We've got verse 26 in my ESV here. It's entitled, "The Parable of the Seed Growing." Similar in lots of ways, but the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises day and night. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then continuing verse 30, we have this parable of the mustard seed. I think it was Colin the other week showed us those pictures of mustard seeds. That insignificant little grain that's so small, so easily lost, so easily overlooked. And yet it grows here, verse 32, it becomes larger than all the garden plants. And puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. What do we see from these parables in Mark 4? What is God teaching us about his kingdom? Well, quite clearly, from all three of those parables, his kingdom is growing. His kingdom will continue to grow. It is not going to be small and insignificant. It is going to be large. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. And as I was looking and studying for this, it reminded me of this verse in Revelation 7. You've got the Apostle John who's there. He has this vision of what is to come. And he writes this, verse 9 of Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." That is God's kingdom. That is his church that he's building. You know, we saw that video yesterday, didn't we, about those unreached nations, those people who don't yet have the Bible in their own language. But God says one day, every single language, every single tribe, every single people, every single nation will be represented in his kingdom. They will be there. It's going to be a multitude that no one can number. We heard from Numbers, was it Sunday morning last week, Paul, or was it Sunday evening? I can't remember. That book that just is full of genealogies of people, of nations, huge nations that were numbered. But this one, no one's going to be able to number it because it's going to be so big. But this is not just something that we look forward to in the future. It's something that we have seen and do see happening even now. Just think of the state of the church as it was left after Jesus was crucified. What do we have? We have 11 Jewish men sat in a room, terrified, in fear of their own lives. And then as we go into the book of Acts, we see that God starts to act. And that as one of them, Peter, stands up and preaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 are added. That church begins there in Jerusalem, but it just so happens, doesn't it, that it's the Passover. So there's people from all over the world who've come into Jerusalem at that time, and the word starts to spread. As persecution arises, those Christians move out, and the gospel is spread further and further across Asia and Europe. I don't know, guys, at the back, if you're able to show that little graphic. We saw this a few weeks ago in our Discipleship Explored course. It's a lovely map of the spread of the gospel from the beginning of the ministry of the apostles through to the present day. And if it works, it's just a lovely to show how far the gospel has spread. Thank you.
What Paul couldn't have foreseen is this. At the start of the 4th century, the Roman Empire launched a sustained effort to crush Christianity completely. And by the end of the century, even the emperors themselves were followers of Christ.
Thank you. You see, people try and put up their opposition to God. The Roman emperors tried to oppose the growth of God's kingdom, but they couldn't. We see there that it's worldwide. Dan began our sessions yesterday morning talking about the church in China. I spoke to my wife about it this morning because her great aunt was actually a missionary in China in the 1930s and beginning of 1940. and Christians were expelled. And what they used to do to hide the Chinese Christians was when the soldiers came round searching, they would get one of their fellow Christians, put them inside a rug, roll up the rug, and pretend that they were sweeping the floor. And so the rug would just be at the side, that the soldiers wouldn't think anything about it, they'd ignore it. And they were there trying to look after and protect God's people, trying to still spread that word. But it felt so hard, it felt so difficult, that the church was almost non-existent. But then what has God done now? A church in China of over 100 million, bigger than the Communist Party itself. God's kingdom is growing. When I was growing up, our church used to support Slavic Gospel Association, and just seeing how the church there in Eastern Europe grew as it was oppressed again by communism, nearly wiped out, but flourished, because God wants his kingdom to grow. Operation World, which gives a wonderful prayer updates on the spread of the gospel throughout the world, says this about the continent of Africa. Christianity has grown to become the religion of almost half of Africa's population and nearly two-thirds of sub-Sahara Africa. From 1900 to 2010, Christian numbers grew from 9% of the population to 48%, from 7.5 million to 504 million. God's kingdom is growing. And hey, look, haven't we seen it here ourselves as we had to move our away day venue this year, didn't we? The one we've used for the last couple of years just wouldn't have been big enough this time round. And it's easy for us to just kind of forget and to maybe look at the small things that we see or just the sphere that we move in. But we need to see what God is seeing across this world, across time, that his kingdom is growing. It is being built. I hope that excites you. I hope that encourages you today, that God is acting. God is working. But how does his church grow? One of the more boring parts of my day job is to look at data. I have to admit that it excites me a little bit more than it should do. But I have to look at where children are making progress. A lot of my time is spent looking at why children haven't made progress and what we can do about it to make them make progress. If only they knew. But sometimes we see that the children have made a lot of progress. And part of my job then is to think, well, okay, what has actually worked this time? What is it that we've done right to actually make these children make progress in their learning? And I have to think about, well, how has it happened? Why has it happened? And that brings us on to the second part here, that yes, God's kingdom is growing, but how does it grow? Well, it grows, as we've seen so many times this weekend, it grows by and through his word. As we go back to this parable, it's the seed that is planted, isn't it? And we're left in no doubt about what this seed is, because Jesus tells us, verse 14, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And this isn't just any old word. This is God's word. Dan reminded us first thing yesterday of how powerful God's word is. That he could speak and creation just comes into being. That he just says a word and the world starts. That his word is so powerful that he can recreate from the mess and the devastation of sin. And that God, in his wisdom, instructed time and time again that his word should be written down, that it should be recorded, that it should be kept, that even in those days when there were prophets who God spoke through, their words were still written down so they could be remembered, so they could be taught, so that here, we, standing here in 2018, can have God's words written down, recorded, his powerful living word. Hebrews 4 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We should never come lightly into church. We should never come half-heartedly, not expectantly as we meet together, because we come to hear a powerful word. It's not powerful because of anything that I'm doing or saying. It's powerful because it's God's word. It's powerful because he has written it. It's powerful because he has said it. That is why his kingdom grows. But then Adam reminded us as well, didn't he? So joyfully and with such passion that the greatest revelation we have of God, the way that God has revealed himself most perfectly, is through his Son, through Jesus Christ. That he brings life, that he brings light, as we saw in those verses that we read at the beginning of our service today. That God has come wrapped, clothed in flesh, to reveal God to mankind. As you know, we're just four chapters into Mark's gospel here. And how can we be in any doubt as to who this Jesus is? If you've got your Bibles there, just look down at some of the headings that are put in there to help us. In chapter 1, we've got Jesus healing a man with an unclean spirit, healing many. Verse 34 of chapter 1, healing many who were sick with various diseases. He's there preaching. And people are stirred, people are moved, because this is Jesus, God's word, proclaiming God's word, acting in power and might. We've got him there in chapter 2, not only healing a paralytic, but saying that he can forgive his sins. And what do the Pharisees say? Well, who can forgive sins but God alone? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," says Jesus. Verse 10 of chapter 2, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." He proves his lordship over the Sabbath. He has great crowds following him. He calls the 12 to himself. He then preaches and teaches here in these parables, revealing and hiding truth, just as was told by the prophet Isaiah. This is Jesus, God's word, God's revelation to mankind, who acts in power, who comes to save. God's kingdom grows by his word. But then here comes the challenge for us here today, which is spread by his people. Mark's gospel ends a little bit later with these words and this command to the disciples in chapter 16 and verse 15. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." God's word is powerful. It grows his kingdom. Jesus has shown God to us. He has provided that way back to his Father. But now, the way for this message to be spread, the way for this good news to be shared, is by God's people going out and telling others about it. And again, isn't that what we've seen as we've considered something of the growth of the church already? It was Peter who just stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost. It was Paul who went traveling round by boat and over land to share this message. It's Christians who have been there translating God's word, who've been there smuggling Bibles into lands where it's not allowed, sharing God's word, showing what God has done in their lives. And by doing that, this seed is sown and God's kingdom is grown. Yes, it may seem foolish, but Paul said this, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It was lovely to hear David Small's testimony yesterday of how he came to see God's goodness and the truth of God's word and how he could believe it completely. And through testimony, through sharing what God has done in your life, that is how this word is spread. I read this morning the conversion of C.H. Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher, as I'm sure many of you know, in the 19th century. And he preached each Sunday to between 5,000 and 6,000 people. It's estimated now that his sermons have been published and shared about 100 million times. What a spread of the word. What a spread and an increase in God's kingdom. Perhaps you think, well, I could never do anything like that. I could never share God's word in that way. Let me encourage you with the story of how he was saved. He was just 15 at the time. And he was trying to get to church, but it had snowed. So rather than going to his normal church, he just stopped at this little Methodist church that was a little bit closer to home. There was about 12 people there. The preacher couldn't get there because of the snow. And Spurgeon doesn't really pull any punches. He says, a poor man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason he had nothing else to say. Harsh. The text was, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. A man not prepared to preach, a man with no eloquence, standing there proclaiming God's words. He goes on and says he went on for about 10 minutes and was about the length of his tether, looked at me under the gallery, and knowing me to be a stranger, he said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did. Because I'd not been accustomed to having remarks made on my personal appearance from the pulpit before. I'm not going to start doing it, don't worry. However, it was a good blow struck. He continued, you will always be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death if you do not obey this text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. The power of God's words. One man being faithful in proclaiming God's word with no eloquence, with no preparation, and yet God acts. And through that one man, C.H. Spurgeon, so many then have gone to hear the word. Let us be encouraged that the power is not in ourselves, but the power is in God's word. So however weakly or feebly we may share it, whether we say the words rightly or not, we are called to be faithful in the sharing of God's word. So let me encourage you to open the Bible with people that you know. We've been looking at Mark's gospel together in our community groups for a few months with the purpose of just getting used to talking about it with each other. Of seeing how we could share it with non-Christians. Have we done it yet? Have we had the opportunity to give a tract or just to share a verse from the Bible that's important to us. Dave reminded us of that yesterday. Just those verses that have meant so much to us over the years, just letting people know about it. That seed would be sown and God's kingdom would continue to grow. You see, the power is in the word, and God grows it by its spirit, by his spirit. Paul said this when people were arguing over who was the greatest preacher. He said, "Who then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth." Well, as we come to a close, God's kingdom is growing. It grows by his word, which is spread by his people. But are we doing it? Are we doing it? If we're not, then why not? It's God's command. We've heard him say that we should proclaim his word. Well, let me explain it this way. As a primary school teacher, I have to teach a number of different lessons. The ones that I try and avoid the most and get away with not teaching are PE and dance. I wonder if you can imagine why. It's because I have very little experience and even less ability with either of those subjects. They don't mean a lot to me, and I don't really have the requisite skills to teach them. Likewise, if I was recommending a car to you, there's a certain make of German car that has 5 seats and sometimes 7 that I would not be recommending to anyone, because I have no trust or faith in that make or model of car, as the last 2 weeks of my bank balance and trips to the garage have shown. I can't teach something that I don't have the skills or the experience of. I can't recommend something that I don't have any trust in. And perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps you've sat here listening to this preaching, heard about the power in God's word, heard about how his kingdom is growing, heard about what a great Savior Jesus is, and yet you don't know it for yourself. You're sat there and perhaps the words are just bouncing off that hard path. Perhaps there's too many troubles for you to be thinking about. Perhaps there's too many cares. Let me challenge you today. There is nothing else worth believing. There is nothing else worth trusting in. There is nothing else giving your life for than this precious, wonderful word of God. Everything else we can pour our money and time and efforts into just disappoint, just fade, just leave us empty, but not God, not Jesus, not his salvation that lasts for eternity. Don't let those birds take that seed away like seagulls take your chips. Let God's word come into your heart and take root and grow and be fruitful, that his kingdom would grow again. But perhaps it's not that you have no experience of the power of God's word. Perhaps it's that you've just forgotten it. Perhaps it is that it's just been snatched away a few too many times, that troubles have put you off, that cares have choked you. Perhaps you've tried telling your friends or neighbours about this great message, but they've not listened. Or if they have, they've been interested for a while, but then troubles come and cares have choked. And you think, well, it doesn't work. Don't be discouraged. God says that will happen. That there will be those who don't listen, that the seed is snatched away from. There will be those who seem interested and really keen, but then Trouble comes and cares choke and nothing happens. Don't be discouraged, because that will happen. But yet there will be that seed that lands in the good soil and that multiplies 30, 60, 100 times, that God's kingdom continues to grow. You know, tonight we will see how God's word affects our own lives, how we are made fruitful, how we are made more like him. But that too is a witness and a testimony to God's power in our lives. Because we have a great God. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps, he rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. For when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. God's kingdom is growing. It grows by his powerful word. People are added to it because of the saving work of Jesus Christ, the word of God. Have you known that? Have you experienced that for yourself? Do you know God's power in your life? Turn to him in repentance and faith. And then go and proclaim. Go and tell others of what great things the Lord has done for you. Well, may God be praised. Amen.